What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show, hour number two. We have open phone lines, 512-248-8252, and we're going to go to Don in Arizona. Hello, Don. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, Mike, I would like to make briefly a comment about elections, voting in general. You have a lot of people here that call in to RBN, and actually a lot of, probably most of the hosts of the RBN radio shows, they have an attitude where they feel they're intellectually superior because they don't vote, and they basically, if you vote, they regard you as mentally retarded. Basically, that's what it is. They feel they're above it, so they have a holier than thou attitude towards voting. Now, the thing about an election, it's true that one vote is not going to change any election, basically, but it's a social movement. It's more than just the tabulation of the mathematical tabulation of the votes. Everybody, whether you vote or not, you're involved in the election. So, for example, these people that call in and say, "Hey, if you vote, you're stupid. Be smart like me." And okay, you're discouraging people from vote. You're participating in the election because you might be able to dissuade some of these people who would vote Republican to not vote, and maybe, I mean, if you you actually might.
Yeah, it's another form of election fraud, a voter suppression, you know, but it's very abstract, and, you know, you can't really prosecute them because they're saying, I have a First Amendment right to my opinion. I think 2016, though, shows that everybody going out and voting does make a difference because there was an attempt to steal the White House in 2016, but so many people voted for Donald Trump, it overrode all the election fraud. And, you know, Trump finally got in, and then in 2020, he was kicked out. So, yeah, everybody should be voting. And more importantly than that, this last week before the midterms here, you should be talking to everybody. And you're going to find people out there who have got very strong positions. And you can basically say, well, you know, that's all well and good. What you want to look for are the people who are still undecided. Okay, and be available to them because they're going to have questions, and you all are in a position to provide the answers. So, you know, that's another thing that we can do. And I'm not making this a partisan issue. I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. The same advice applies. Now, I understand that mostly conservatives listen to this radio show. But in general, you know, if you don't vote, somebody else is going to vote in your place. That's something else that is also going on with the election fraud is they look for people who have not voted recently, re-register them to vote, and then, you know, provide a false ballot. So voting, no matter which way you vote, is a way of pushing back against the election fraud.
I think there have been some small steps made towards making the elections cleaner. The Judicial Watch has won some lawsuits about cleaning up some of the dead people off the voter rolls. Mm-hmm. Here in Arizona, just recently, they've had three people convicted of ballot harvesting, where they go out and basically find somebody that doesn't really want to vote, but they have a ballot, and you fill out the ballot for them and sign their name and all that. That's against the law to do that.
Yes, it is.
They didn't think they were doing anything wrong. They've been doing it for years. They said they didn't think they were doing anything wrong. Well, they gave them 30 days in jail, but this will make people think about doing that, whether they want to go out and go to jail.
Well, you know, considering how important the election process is to the governing of this country, I think that all election fraud, you know, should have much stricter punishments to act as a deterrent. You know, we're not talking about revenge and payback and everything, but the whole idea of punishment in jail is a deterrent. We've seen the deterrent to crime removed in many of our cities, and understandably, crime has soared. They're trying to basically take the voting system in the same direction. If you are caught cheating on an election, now you get a wrist slap, and that's basically it. And as a result, vote fraud continues to be a major problem.
Yeah, we'll get a new attorney general. This the attorney general they got now is a rhino. In fact, he went on 60 Minutes and said that See, he's the guy. What they're doing, the mainstream media, they take the people that lost the election. Brnovich
yes.
came in third place in the Senate race. Okay, so they gave him a plane ride to talk on 60 Minutes about how there is no vote fraud. You know, he was a loser. See, the mainstream media, they're with the losers. They like the losers. They love Liz Cheney. They love anybody that loses big. They'll talk to the loser of the election, and they'll say to him something like, well, aren't these people were really stupid for not voting for you. They voted for this other guy. Don't you agree with me? This is the way
part of what the corporate media are trying to do is convince Americans that the elections are honest. And I'm kind of glad that Bolsonaro is kicking up a big fuss down there in Brazil. And we're going to report on it this next week because it's going to remind Americans that, yeah, election fraud does happen. As Stalin said, or supposedly said, people who vote decide nothing. People who count the votes decide everything. And whether or not Stalin himself actually said it, it definitely it's true. And, you know, we need to get rid of these computers, and we need to basically have we need to crowdsource the actual counting and handling of the ballots, which is the theory behind my approach to ending election fraud.
Well, things can get better, and I think they are going to get better. So I'll let you go, though, Mike. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks an awful lot here. We're going to go to Marco in Alabama. Hello, Marco. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
All right. I don't know if you had talked about this because I know that you didn't have a work day on Friday. There was an article that came out in the Atlantic Monthly talking
yes.
about amnesty for you know, everybody that had damaged somebody from the vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
about it. They're pushing for that because now that the whole COVID vaccine cover story has been blown, there are going to be massive, massive lawsuits that could put some of these multi-billion-dollar pharmaceutical companies completely out of business. So, yeah, they're out there saying, well, maybe we did some wrong things, but we didn't know any better. And please have it in your heart to forgive us. And my reply is no way. This is the third word in the
exactly.
middle there, but I can't say it.
I cannot wait. I cannot wait, you know, until, you know, we finally, you know, get to that point where we have, you know, the lawyers. Because, you know, realistically, I've been saving up money. One of my family members, dude, passed away, dude, because, you know, they didn't listen and they took the vaccine. And they had an emergency, like they had cancer in their lobe, and then the vaccine brought all of that out and all that stuff. And they
I don't remember the name at the moment, but he's been posting articles that getting the COVID vaccine accelerated the growth of his cancers.
That's true. I mean, I just wanted to let people know out there that the narrative is about to shift, you know, and they're going to sit here and ask Republicans for forgiveness, ask conspiracy theorists for forgiveness. But, you know, there was no apology from them. You know, we were right, you know, the entire time. We stuck with our human instincts. We knew, dude, that something was wrong. And you know, now all of a sudden, dude, when everything's come out into the light, you know, like they always say, you know, the lie travels twice around the world, you know, before the truth comes around. And now, you know, all of a sudden, you know, they want all of this, you know, repentance. And I'm sitting there seeing on certain conservative outlets, you know, that we shouldn't be mean about this or anything like that. And I'm sorry. I cannot find it in my heart, dude, because I would still have a family member right now, dude, if this didn't happen. And, you know, another thing is that, you know, I'm sitting here, you know, when is Trump, dude, going to get over to, you know, this whole vaccine thing and admit, dude, that he had did wrong, man? I mean, because this is the upcoming, you know, split, dude. I mean, you know, where they say, you know, that Ron DeSantis, dude, doesn't have enough, you know, and that Trump would win, you know, the Republican, you know, contention hands down. But he's so out of the loop right now, dude, because he's not really, you know, a political figure. And nobody gets to see, you know, his rallies unless you sit here and go on the internet or something like that, because the mainstream news isn't broadcasting him because they're phasing him out. But, if you know, I can't vote for Donald Trump, dude, if he's still going to push through this vaccine, dude, because realistically, once you've got a family member who passed away.
That would be a bad issue for Trump going into 2024. And
it'd be cool, you know, if Trump dude admitted that he was wrong and that, you know, he did this dude because, you know, he was hijacked dude by, you know, the World Economic Forum and they were using all of this, but he won't admit it. And everybody dude that's in his circle, you know, has pretty much said, you know, that he's going to ride this until the end and all that stuff. But, you know, after the midterms, when we're sitting there focusing on the general election and all that stuff, you know, despite how you feel about DeSantis, dude, DeSantis could win, dude, because, you know, he's not Trump.
This vaccine issue, as you say, with all of this cover up and conspiracy and, you know, the billions of dollars sucked out of the taxpayers for these ineffective and dangerous shots, this could be a very bad issue for Trump to take into 2024. And at some point, if I were advising Trump politically, I would say you're going to have to confront this issue. And just say that, you know, you were lied to by, you know, Dr. Fauci and so forth and so on. And, you know, that's just the reality. And again,
the funny
for the Atlantic. The
funny part about this, Michael, is that his kids know. His kids know, dude, that it was wrong, dude. And if they can't change his mind, it ain't going to happen. And things like that, man. We can't sit here and continue to allow them, dude. Because they're going to try to, you know, push the vaccine some more and things like that, man. And they're never going to give up on this because this is the only way, dude, that they can lock everybody down, dude, and do a martial law thing and things like that, man. And everybody should be pissed, dude. Anybody, dude, that ever came to you and told you, dude, that, you know, you couldn't come into the store or you couldn't get anything done or anything like that, dude, because they were deathly afraid and things like that, man. You know, right now, I mean, I'm sorry, I hate to say it, dude, but, you know, I'm laughing at all of them. I'm laughing at all of them right now, dude, because, you know, these articles are these periodicals from, like, the Atlantic Monthly are the globalist hive brain, the left hive brain, the things that they want to inject into the narrative. And when they have, you know, this Atlantic Monthly article, you know, how we should be sitting there forgiving. Screw them. You know, the left's policies have been so bad that, you know, unless you're a real adult, dude, you know, we're sitting there allowing children, dude, to sit here and run the country. You know that the children, dude, that become 18 this year, you know, during, you know, the 2024, you know, voting season are the children of the crackheads from the 1990s, the crackhead epidemic, and all that stuff. So they're already bruised and battered mentally.
Yes.
And all that stuff, they're dysfunctional, you know, in our society. So, you know, you take that into consideration, dude, when 2024 comes and things like that, dude, that people, dude, that are disabled mentally because of drugs, you know, the stigma of crack cocaine and all of that stuff are the people, dude, that are going to be making the ill decisions and voting in this 2024 election.
Well, they're going to be a group of voters. They're going to be a bloc. I don't think they're going to, you know, swing the elections all by themselves. But definitely, they're going to be coming on out here and saying, how did we get into this mess and who is responsible?
I mean, they're going to be the largest voting bloc, you know, this Generation Z. This Generation Z, you know, I mean, unless, you know, that they were living in some suburbs and they had parents, dude, that cared about them, chances are, dude, their parents were drug addicts and things like that. So their brains don't work like ours. And it's been proven, dude, you know, that drug use, dude, impairs the brain and all that stuff. And that these kids, dude, you know, are already biologically attacked, you know, because the decisions of their parents, dude, to sit here and get hooked on crack, dude, and it doesn't matter if you're black or white, because there was white people, you know, plenty of white people, dude, funding, you know, George Bush's crack epidemic venture.
Yes.
And other than that, I'm just angry, dude, and I just hope, dude, that people say no and don't give any of these liberals any quarter, dude, about the vaccines, dude, because they caused so much damage, dude. They destroyed our economy. They sat here and locked people down, dude. I mean, some of our elderly died alone. Because they didn't have the ability to have their family see them to the end. And these doctors knowingly killed these people. There wasn't no, you know, second guessing or we were just guessing at this whole thing. They knew remdesivir, dude, was dissolving people's kidneys and all that stuff. Dude, they knew this. And so they don't deserve any freaking quarter whatsoever. And if Trump's
I agree. I'm absolutely in agreement.
The vaccine, I can't vote for him.
I'm in agreement. I have no forgiveness for what was clearly an orchestrated hoax played on the American people to generate profits for the pharmaceutical industries, who would then write very generous campaign checks for the politicians. And I think these people should be made example of. And the only way we can do that peacefully is at the ballot box. Okay, looks like Marco was done there. Well, I hope I didn't annoy him. Anyway, we're going to go to Pat in Fort Worth. Hello, Pat. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. Speaking of elections, I think that the Republicans in Florida are not doing DeSantis any favor by putting out this ad with him and his son and sunglasses on, and it says Top Gov, and it shows the symbol of the new movie Top Gun.
Yeah, actually, I thought it was kind of clever and fun myself.
Well, didn't you know from being out there that Tom Cruise is a flaming homosexual? He had to pay a woman millions of dollars to have his kids, and then he never lived with her.
Well, yeah. I mean, anybody who knows, the background on Tom Cruise, it's maybe not the best of associations. But I think probably the majority of voters really don't know that. I mean, Tom Cruise is has millions of fans. He's very popular. And he has done good work in his movies. He's really very good at what he does. And I actually met him back on a film called Losing It, which was very early in his career. And for those of us in the know, it's not the best of associations. But I don't think that the ad was necessarily tying DeSantis to Tom Cruise directly, but just trying to use that image of a Top Gun, fighter pilot attitude, the right stuff kind of stuff. I don't think the ad is going to work against him. I really don't.
Okay. Well, I just thought I'd warn people out there, tell Governor DeSantis he might not want to have that ad. He's not doing it. It's the whole Florida Republicans are doing it.
Well, he has to approve it. I mean, there were some times in the past when political ads came on out and they cratered, and the candidate said, I had nothing to do with that. I had no idea this was going on. And so they did pass a law that the candidate himself or herself has to say, I approve this message. And you're going to hear that on a lot of political advertising. Anyway, thank you very much for the phone call. We're getting really, really close to the commercial break. So thank you very much. And we're going to start with Tom in Florida. And Tom, I'm going to have to take you through the coming commercial break. But what's on your mind?
Good day, Tom. Mike.
You, Tom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mike, what I want to say is about what's going on with Pigs Pelosi with this guy, the illegal alien from Canada. Maybe Al can call in and give us a rundown of how many illegals from Canada come into the United States every year, overstay their visas. But, Mike, Pigs Pelosi, they're really trying to use this, but she's only got another week to go. She'll be out of there. She's definitely going to be gone.
Well, no, she's going to be Speaker of the House at least until January 20th of next year.
I thought it was January 3rd.
I'm not exactly sure when the new Congress sits, but even if she loses her election next week, she's still going to hold her office until after the first of the year. And no doubt there'll be a lot of mischief done by the outgoing political majority.
Well, you know, Mike, I think it's kind of absurd because she's 83, he's 82, and, they're having a 3,000-mile distance between them. He's injured, so I don't see...
Okay, Tom, I got to put you on hold. Do not hang up. I'm going to come right back to you after these words from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and 5 easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interest as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. And one of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
What really happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show here. We have open phone lines, 512-248-8252. We're talking with Tom in Florida about the Pelosi situation. And I just got an email saying that Google has now blurred the Pelosi house out on Street View. Apparently, they were concerned people were going to take a look at the outside of the house and say if there was security and cameras and so forth. And Google said, nope, none of your business. We're going to blur it out here. So, Tom, can you pick it up where you left off?
Yes, sir. I'm feeling a little under the weather, Mike, so just excuse me because well, I went from hot to cold to hot. It's crazy in here in South Florida. Here's what I want to talk about. Mrs. Pelosi is 3,000 miles away from an 82-year-old man. He's in this big mansion house by himself. What happens if he falls down and hurts or breaks a hip or something, Mike? I mean,
well, I would hope he would have one of those little buttons around his neck, you know, you push the button and it automatically calls emergency services.
Help me, I can't get up. Help me, I fall.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Well, you know, the iWatch actually has a function in there where if it detects you've taken a fall, it can be set to automatically call emergency services and some other individual contact. And that's kind of a nice thing to have. And it's a good reason to have an iWatch, in my opinion.
Yes, yes. Well, Mike, you know, Mr. Pelosi got busted with a DUI, Mike.
Yes, he did.
Yes. And now his wife's 3,000 miles away in Washington. He's in San Francisco.
Yeah.
San Francisco. And Where's his other family members, Mike? There's nobody around. This thing looks nefarious because I believe Mr. DePapa, and him have something going on. That's how I feel. Like Ed Buck would.
Yeah, that seems to be what's going on. And the original report in the Santa Monica Observer, did suggest that this David was earning some money as a male prostitute and may have just been picked up by, Paul. Because, again, when Paul Pelosi had his DUI, there was a second person in the car with him. So
that's right.
Who knows what's going on. But, I'm not feeling that we're getting the truth again on this. And as I said the other day, I don't care about Paul Pelosi and his orientation. What the reaction to this story is telling us is that the American public aren't willing to just accept at face value what we're being told by the corporate media and the politicians. And that, to me, is a very good piece of news.
Yes, sir. Yeah, Mike, you're right. What about this now, Mike? 20 years this guy DePapa has been in San Francisco illegally.
Yes.
He overstayed a visa. 20 years. Mike, we don't get some immigration laws enforced on the books. This country's all already over with.
Well, the problem is the existing immigration laws are not being enforced. This guy should have been picked up, within days of the expiration of his visa and shown the border.
Exactly. Mike, what about Kate Steinle getting murdered on the San Francisco pier? What about all these illegals that came in here murdering American citizens, Mike? And I told you a long time ago, one is one too many. Whoever has allowed this should be punished severely to the fullest extent of the law. Now, you have thousands of American citizens being murdered by illegal aliens, Mike.
Yes.
And nothing's being done. You have angel mothers and fathers that tried to do something, and the media shuts them up. Disgusting and disgraceful. When an angel mother and father gives a story out, it's heart-wrenching. And if it was one of your family members or Pig Pelosi, she would be crying like a whining pig. But you can't put lipstick on a pig like Pelosi because they're still going to have sanctuary cities for these votes.
They've been telegraphing that at least one of the reasons for the open border is to have as many illegals come on in and then declare them all legal citizens and give them IDs and then tell them to vote Democratic.
Absolutely. And to Marco, I just got to let Marco, he had a nice passionate call, but Marco, I don't believe Ron DeSantis is basically definitely not going to run for president until 28. He's already said it. He'll run in 20, but he's not going to run in 24.
So my dream ticket would be Trump DeSantis for 2024, but Trump has already made it clear he's going to have a woman as his running mate, and that's going to undermine, of course, the feminist agenda with the Democrats. So we'll see what's going to happen with that.
Yeah. And, Mike, I hope this broad Markowski in Alaska loses her tail off because she's nothing but a stinking dirty rhino, and I hope that Kelly Trubisky, whatever, whips her. So that's one thing we got to pray for.
So far, the numbers for the early voting are much higher than would be expected for a midterm election. And it's a political truism that people don't often get out of the house to vote for somebody, but they will definitely fight their way to the polls to vote against somebody. And I think that's going to be a major factor in the midterms.
Yeah, I agree. I think Washington State is going to be an interesting race, too. If young lady beats that, those liberals in Washington State, their heads are going to explode. They're going to go nuts. They'll probably jump out off bridges.
They're already going nuts. They're out there screaming, China is going to rig the election. Russia is going to rig the election. Not us. We would never do anything like that. And, like I said, it's going to be tumultuous. It's going to be a real circus leading up to Election Day and for some days thereafter. Tom, I'm going to have to let you go. We've got to take another break for commercials.
Day,
we've got callers waiting on the line, 512-248-8252, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Easeoff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
If you've got the money, honey, we got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up anyone. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did.
And welcome back to our show here. We're going to go to Jim in Northern Michigan. Hello, Jim. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, I've kind of come to a conclusion today. One of my neighbors, okay, had a Biden-Harris sign out, I mean, a big one out during the election.
Yeah.
And I went by his house, and now he has Whitmer, who was our Democratic Draconian governor, okay, mm-hmm. and her attorney general. And can I just share a few things I've kind of found out about during COVID about our governor and the Department of Health here in northern in Michigan?
Yeah, I think we're open to a few concepts.
Okay, what I did when COVID came in 2020, I, like any responsible adult, thought there was some validity in it. Okay, I heard Mike Adams saying that 100,000 people would die or whatever. But anyways, it came to a point where in 2020, when I realized the numbers weren't really accurate, what they were telling us was not really happening.
Yes.
And at that time, I was turned on to the PCR test.
Yes.
And how inaccurate it was, and
that's right.
And listening to the inventor saying it should never be used to find viruses. But what then I started looking more into it, and I found out the PCR test was approved by the FDA on the Emergency Authorization Act.
Ah, okay.
So I was going, okay, great. So I was going, oh, my God. And we had a thing here where everybody was being tested. They had long lines of cars. You'd come in under a tent, and you could get tested. If you didn't get your vaccine, you had to be tested every week. If football players mm-hmm. went out to get, you'd be tested. So test. And it was kind of crazy. So I looked at the Department of Health website, and I went to the PCR test. And what they said, that was the gold standard, okay, for finding coronavirus. Then I looked at what they required, or what they were saying to laboratories. They were saying to run it at 40 cycles. Okay. And
yeah, 40 cycles, you can find anything. I mean, the more cycles you run, the less accurate it is.
Well, what the inventors said, if you're going to look for what you're looking like for viruses or whatever, but anyways, these 17 cycles, and it just cycle, folks, is just like turning up the volume on your stereo, okay?
Yes.
But what happens is every time you take it up one cycle, it doubles the magnification of what they're looking to find. So you can find stuff that's so minute. It's great technology. But what the inventor said, run it at 17 to 20 cycles, and then the Department of Health here was telling the laboratories, this is what we recommend, 40 cycles. Anything over 30 cycles is going to give you 98% false positive.
And yeah.
I thought that kind of odd. I said, which means you have COVID. And then the same person would go, the problem in Michigan here was the fact that if you tested positive, you had to go for home for 14 days.
Yes.
So people were going out of work, and so I was kind of interested, and I called the health department here in Michigan. And I said, you're running the PCR test at 40 cycles. This is what you're asking laboratories to run at. And you know you're going to get 95% false positives. But I also realized the fact that Gretchen Whitmer, okay,
yes.
every time there was a spike, which means probably 90% false positives, but they never told you if they were false positives. Yeah, they just positive with no symptoms. So, but the fact was they were just stacking up the numbers. So
yes.
Gretchen Whitmer could do her Gretonian. I mean, she was unbelievable as far as during COVID. But there was, I think, RICO going on, collusion mm-hmm. going on between the governor and health department. And, of course, our local health department, I talked to them, too, talked to a medical doctor. And basically what it is, they look at their funding from Michigan Department of Health, who also gets funding from the CDC or Department of Health in Washington. So we got this big chain of how are everybody lying to everybody and nobody's knowing what's going on. With the local health department, they said, we run lots of tests, but they really didn't want to hear. The health department in Lansing didn't want to hear from me, and they were very upset the fact that I called. So what I'm trying to say is that, like Gretchen Whitmer, in the springtime, honest to God, in 2020, she said you can't buy seeds, okay? And you can't look at the flooring department. I would go into Home Depot. There would be these police lining up, the red, yellow tape that goes around everything. You couldn't even get seeds for your garden in the springtime. And then she would say, this is a crazy woman. I mean, she went crazy on it. She said you could go out on a boat now, but
yes.
if you went in a canoe, you could do it, but you couldn't be a motorboat. And I'm thinking, okay, what's the difference in that? So, and then she said that people from downstate who maybe wanted to get away from all the crap down there and come up and had cottages up here in northern Michigan, which I love because I have a rich clientele, and it's just a beautiful area, very secure and everything. She said it was against a lot for those people to come up and get in their cabins. I mean, she was so out of control.
That was definitely out there. Anyway, Jim, I hate to cut you off, but we're getting close to the end of the show. We got a bunch of phone callers waiting on the line here. So thank you very much for the call. And we're going to skip our last commercial break, and we're going to go to Joshua in New York. Hello, Joshua. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, yeah. When it comes to justice, I know that everyone's got feelings no matter what, but aren't they supposed to stay away from like making feelings based around a decision with the court based around feelings, like their emotions, whether it's empathy or empathy?
Okay, Joshua, could you get your mouth a little closer to the microphone because we're not getting a clear signal down here.
Okay, so my question was, when it comes to Supreme Court justices or any of the judges and that, they're supposed to keep their feelings away from the whole situation. That's why,
yes.
For instance, sometimes certain judges won't be allowed because of feelings, right?
Yeah.
So sympathy or empathy. So if they're ever caught making decisions around sympathy or empathy, what does that mean? Like if they make a big decision like a law or they agree with law or a certain decision that was made. Is that
well,
room for like...
Under the Constitution, the Supreme Court's only job is to determine whether laws passed by the federal government or the state comply with the Constitution. And there was an early Supreme Court ruling, Marbury versus Madison, which said that any law that is repugnant to the Constitution is automatically null and void and cannot be enforced. Unfortunately, in recent decades, we've seen the Supreme Court sort of grow out of that very limited job description, and now they're using their power to set policy.
Okay, so would you say that it'd be good for us to start determining what laws are more revenge-based and what laws are justice? That comes to the determination that there's two types of law out there, and there's the law of revenge, like Code of Hammurabi style, and the law of justice.
Okay, we're losing you again, Joshua, so it must be a bad connection or something, and thank you very much for the phone call. And we're going to go to Dan in Washington State. Hello, Dan. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I had an opinion on voting this election, but real quick, you guys mentioned Top Gun, the new Top Gun that came out.
Yep.
I actually watched that, and if you want to talk about kind of like CIA predictive programming propaganda, the entire movie is basically about going to war with Iran. It's like,
yeah, it is, and I got to be very honest. I mean, I like the original Top Gun. I was very disappointed in the new one, Maverick. I mean, the camera technology is definitely improved, and I was very impressed with that. But as far as the story went, it didn't really live up to the original.
Yeah, it was obvious. What was it? It was one of our Middle Eastern allies, you know, was threatened by another country that's developing nuclear weapons. That's the plot. So
yeah.
See, I wonder who those are. You know, and the but yeah. Anyway, it's something to watch. I guess it wasn't horrible, but yeah, I wouldn't pay to watch it. Try to watch it for free, I guess, so you don't support the propaganda. Yeah, as far as election, I'll just leave it at that. I the problem with voting for the less of two evils is that the people who betray their voters never get punished. And
that is a big problem. And in my mind, voting for the lesser of two evils is still evil, and it's a dumb way to run a country. But you're right. There should be some legal ramifications for a candidate who makes promises in the campaign trail and then immediately goes back on them. Because that happens all the time now. I mean, Biden has broken so many of his campaign promises, but they keep saying, well, it's free speech, and, you know, I can say what I want in the campaign trail, and then when I actually get the job and see what the real situation is, well, I'm going to have to change my mind and, you know, do something. I still remember the thing with George Bush where he said, read my lips, no new taxes, and as soon as he got into the office, the taxes went up.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not going to say who to not to vote for president. And if you got a good local person, I guess support them, even if they're a Democrat or whoever. Go person by person and issue by issue. I would just like to see Mitch McConnell punished and Kevin McCarthy, as long as they're running the Republican Party. I'll remember how they betrayed Steve King and Chris Kobach and basically got rid of anybody that was for Trump's agenda. They got rid of.
Yeah.
So and there's
well, he was an outsider. He was an outsider, and you know, Washington has become a very much of a clique. And you're either in or you're out. And Trump surprised them with his victory in 2016, and they're absolutely dedicated to not letting any outsiders back on in. In fact, referring back to that Associated Press article, you know, sounding the alarm that outsiders might actually get into the government. Well, it's supposed to be the people's government, and outsiders are supposed to be welcome. That's how it's going to work. Anyway, Dan, got to cut you off here. I got a bunch more calls I'm going to try and get to before the end of the show. So let's go to James in Vancouver. Hello, James. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Trump for 2024. I nominate Mike Huckabee's daughter for vice president.
Okay.
Because I like the way she could slam dunk those journalists through the hoops. She was excellent. So there's my choice.
Well, you know, time will solve that mystery. I know that he was talking to Marjorie Taylor Greene. And he's already going down the vetting list. And, you know, he does want a woman in that running mate position to basically pull the rug out from the feminist argument on the Democrat side.
Right. Anyway, nobody's talking about Mike Huckabee's daughter, I don't think, so I thought I'd mention it. So.
Okay.
That's it. I'll let you go.
All right, thanks an awful lot here, and we're going to go to Robert in Illinois. Hello, Robert. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, nobody should be talking about Huckabee's daughter because the Huckabees are part of the, you know, Mike Huckabee being the former governor of, and I named the state, I can't remember, Missouri or
Arkansas.
I'm not sure. Arkansas. And, you know, I never really caught the guy's TV show much, but one day I was in a house where they actually had the channel and they had his TV show on, and I heard the guy straight out tell us he owns property in Israel.
Okay.
So, you know, they're straight out, you know, they're straight out Zionists. You know, you can't trust any of them. We need to actually find the people that are just like neighbors of us, ours, that people that we actually know a history, that we actually can actually track their whereabouts, that haven't been visiting the CFR or the Davos group or Burning Man or whatever it may be. I think that's what we need to do. We're just, you know, they keep putting all these people in power, and they're in power, and they throw their names and their words all around. We got to be done with that. We need local people, real people, and that's what the whole thing is missing.
It definitely is. I mean, you know, by the time we actually get to that ballot box, I mean, the candidates are all manufactured. They've got public relations. They've got advertising and consultants. And it really is very, very difficult unless you get on the net and really dig for some information. It's hard to get a read on what they're really all about. And that's been a curse of politics, you know, for centuries.
They're groomed, and then they got money. If they got that much money, that means they've had the in, and they've been selected to have that much money. Because nobody makes as much money as a lot of these people do without being in the green-lighted. Because if it was you, Mike Rivero, if you started making great wealth and had a great, whatever it may be, however you were making your money,
yeah,
they would knock you down. You would get to a certain level, and they'd have to approach you and say, hey, Mike, what can we keep letting you make all this money if, and then, you know, now you have to start signing the contracts that you're going to may disagree with. And if you disagree with it and you don't want to get on board, that's kiss that lawfare. Kiss the money goodbye. They're going to come after you like nobody's business. So, you know, we can't trust any of them and so forth. But you were mentioning Trump and DeSantis. I'd like to get on the ticket. Well, Mike, I know it just escaped your mind. You cannot have a vice president and a president running on the same ticket from the same state. That you can't. So they're both in Florida.
Oh,
They both have houses and live in Calder Home, Florida. You can't have two on the same ticket. That's
okay. I was unaware of that. Thank you for enlightening us.
I know something else. I forgot what it was. But so I'll let you go. You guys take care.
All right. Thanks an awful lot here. And we're going to go to Melissa in Maryland. Hello, Melissa. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Okay. Here. I would like somebody to do this, not necessarily you, but somebody to do this, somebody who will be responsive to it. We have all of these well-intended candidates worthy of election that have been endorsed in all of these different states, and we hear about them in bits and pieces. It would be helpful if there were to be a state-by-state nationwide candidates list from bottom to top, top to bottom, of candidates that should be voted for, with the understanding that it's not necessarily going to be a full list, and that with the understanding, in my opinion, they don't have to be all Republican. They just have to be well-intended candidates, but I would like it if they were electable, and I think that you know what electable means.
It sounds like a good idea, but I do have a problem with it in that whoever is organizing and publishing that list is in a position to influence the election. And
okay,
I think everybody really needs to take the time to form their own list of who they should vote for.
Well, okay, but I guess I'm speaking of something for the clueless, C-L-U-E-L-E-S-S, because, like, for instance, there's a League of Women Voters survey.
Mm-hmm.
But unless you're of the right mindset, you're not going to interpret that survey correctly. I mean, you know, there are people that look at the League of Women Voters survey, and there are candidates that don't even bother to fill it out. And if they see somebody bluntly admitting that they're going to raise taxes or they're going to infringe upon the Second Amendment, they might think that it's a good idea to vote for them when it isn't.
Well,
I mean,
again, the League of Women Voters has had its own scandals throughout the years. And again, they're building a list based on the public statements of the various candidates. All too often, candidates are going to lie to the voters. To get elected, you have to tell the voters what the voters want to hear, and not deal with the actual realities of what's going on in the country. And that's why you've got Biden is out there now trying to shift the blame for the economy onto the oil companies and shifting the blame for this over to the Republicans and Trump. And, you know, it's desperation. And I think the American people have become aware enough and sophisticated enough to realize that these are indications of a party that is desperate to cling to power, and very, very concerned that polls are definitely shifting against them.
I guess that means you're not going to put the list together.
Yeah, I think everybody ought to put their own list together. You know, because I can get duped, I can get lied to. You know, I'm not in a position yet where anybody's offering me any bribes or anything. But, I really think you should be your own best analysts and list builders. And, you know, if you're going to be a responsible citizen of this country, you've got to do your homework and look at the people running for office and look at the way the elections are being run and just decide for yourself, I'm going to do something about it.
Okay, well, allow me to wish you a happy All Saints Day and, you know, also All Souls Day is this week. So both holidays are this week. Okay.
All right. Thank you very much for that. And, all right. Speaking of Halloween, the rain did let up and we had a flood of small people coming in, and, you know, getting their candy. And some of them had really cute costumes. They were these two kids disguised as hot dogs. And I mean, full body costume, yellow mustard swirly down the belly and everything. It was really a lot of fun. Okay, let's see. We're going to go to Eric in Alberta. Hello, Eric. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, since we're on the topic of voting, I just want to say that I think if Donald Trump tapped Tulsi Gabbard to be the vice president, that'd be a pretty powerful ticket right there.
It would be. Now that Tulsi has abandoned the Democratic Party, and I don't know that she's declared a new party affiliation, but yeah, that would be a good matchup.
Yeah, either her or, well, I mean, if he's going to select a female, then yeah, that would be, she'd be the one. I think she'd appeal to independents primarily, but also people of both parties.
Yes.
But what I was calling about is that I used to listen to this guy on a talk show, and he used to say that cancel culture is a dress rehearsal for mass genocide. And I forget, I'm not sure if that's where I heard it, but basically what he means is that if they can cancel you and censor you virtually, then there's nothing stopping them from doing it physically. Like, if you have, you know, like Donald Trump, for example, he's a pretty powerful and wealthy individual, and they seem to silence him pretty well. But,
well, not in the independent media. You know, we're still talking about him. We're talking about the theft of the 2020 election. And, you know, if you succeed in canceling somebody, then there really is no point in going forward and trying to kill them. You know, that's reserved for people with inside information that is somehow finding its way to WikiLeaks. And WikiLeaks has, you know, taken all those emails that were leaked from the Hillary Clinton campaign, and they put them online. There's an index to go with them. And, as far as genocide, that is generally targeting, you know, a population just for being that population. And, but, yeah, we're in a very dangerous political climate where I predict, unfortunately, we are going to see a lot more wet work in the coming months. It's another sign of the American empire nearing its collapse.
Well, that's exactly what's happening right now, is that conservatives are being targeted. I mean, conservatives are being lied about in the corporate media every day.
Yes.
And in the establishment. And communications is one of the first things to get attacked in a war. And make no mistake, they've already fired the first shot. You know, it's just, when are people going to have had enough and mount a counteroffensive?
I'm in favor of patience, and in the spirit of Mahatma Gandhi, just let the government destroy itself. And
I agree.
Unfortunately, there are a lot of people talking about a rebellion, revolution, civil war. I don't support it, but I understand why it's there.
I agree with that. You know, I definitely don't want violence, especially for my, for my progeny. You know what I mean, Mike?
Yeah, that's it. I'm an old guy, and, I'm continuing this attempt to peacefully, resurrect the Republic because I've got grand nieces and nephews that I'm very worried they're going to wind up, carrying rifles and dressing in really bad camouflage but baggy suits.
Yeah, instituting the draft is one of the things that kind of...
Yeah, Biden is apparently looking at that, but it won't be announced until after the midterm elections, because if he dared announce it now, in fact, it shouldn't have even been mentioned at this point, it's definitely going to work against the Democrats. Okay, Eric, I've got to let you go. The music is playing. The show is over. Thank you for the phone call. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report. Michael Herzog is taking the microphone. Please spread the word of republicbroadcasting.org. Spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. Thanks to everybody who is continuing to financially support us through these very, very dark times. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.